Take your Bibles with us and turn with us to the book of John. Book of John. Now, I'm going to talk to you, and I want to just give you peace of mind during the message today. I'm going to be talking about Jesus' foot washing today, but we're not going to ask you to wash feet at the end of the service. So some of you can take a deep breath. Rhonda said to me on the way, Brad, you're not it. I said, honey, we're not going to do that. But I'll wash your feet, honey, when we get home, if you like. But we're going to speak to you about that. We're in this series called He Is. Say He Is. And we're studying several verses over the last more than 6 months because of the holidays. We're on message number 22. And we come to this amazing story that there is so much there. I think you'll leave here today, if there's an anointing upon me and your ears, that you're going to leave here today saying, you know what, I didn't fully understand it, but I do understand it better now. And we're going to look at this night before Jesus goes to the cross. And I want you to stand with me for the reading of the word. If you're watching online, stand where you are in reference to the word of God that he's given to us. And I'm going to speak to you today, Jesus, three lessons over supper. Three lessons over supper. And we're going to speak to people about salvation. Say salvation.
Salvation.
We're going to speak about sin. Say sin.
Sin.
And we're going to speak about service. Say service.
Service.
So we're in John's Gospel, chapter 13, in verse number 1. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent, say full extent,
full extent
of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath, say a bath, had a bath needs only to wash his feet, his whole body is clean, and you are clean. I want you to get that in your spirit. Say clean.
Clean.
And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I've done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example, say example.
Example.
Nice and loud, example.
Example.
Example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed. Say blessed.
Blessed.
Say happy.
Happy.
You will be blessed if you do them. Can I tell you, I can't wait to preach the word today. I hope you sense that as we deliver God's word. I felt like I had the Lord by the power of the Spirit. It wasn't an audible voice. Just add three addendums that are not in my manuscript until I went back to my office when I came in to pray this morning. Nothing, it wasn't overly profound, but I believe that God wanted to say a word to you today. And I believe that the Lord's going to meet us. Amen?
Amen?
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that You have given your word to us as a gift, just as we've given our worship unto you. I thank you for every person watching online. I thank you for the people that are here in the house as we approach, Lord Jesus, this passion season of Palm Sunday and Gethsemane and Good Friday. Oh, God, I just bless you for all that you've done. Thank you that you went to the cross. Help us to kiss the cross afresh even today. I ask, Lord, for your goodness and your grace to minister to your people. And in these next few moments, if you can't speak through me, speak in spite of me to these people that you and I love. And, Lord, I thank you for your word, which is yea and amen to them that believe. And if you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Would you, just before you're seated, I've just asked the ushers, because I don't want to take the time at the close of the service. If you came in and you did not receive a communion set, a wafer, and a cup, would you just lift your hand? Maybe you slipped in and you didn't receive that. If you're here, is anybody, did you make it in and you didn't receive one? Over here, right here, Brother Randy and Elaine there, anybody else? Just lift your hand, because at the end of the service, we're going to come to the Lord's table. Awesome. You may be seated. How do you picture Jesus, Brighton Assembly, and the disciples at his last meal? I would submit to you, most of us have kind of grown up thinking about a long table with Jesus at the center and the disciples on either side. We get this in great part, don't we? Because of Renaissance artists like Leonardo da Vinci, who painted the scene that way. Almost everybody has seen this picture you see on the screen. It's Da Vinci's famous painting that he painted on the dining room wall, if you didn't know it, of a monastery in Milan, Italy, in 1495. Can you picture the monks that are there in that monastery sipping their soup in silent adoration of the Lord, and then looking at that table, focusing in on that table and saying, you know what? I'm sitting here at a table just like Jesus did with the disciples. But that wasn't the real scene at all. This wasn't 15th century Europe. It was 1st century Middle East. And the diners in that day reclined on their left arm. And then that freed up their right hand, which was their clean or kosher hands, so that they could be able to take their food or their drink with the right hand. So it was in this setting that Jesus, go to that next slide, please. It'll show you. That Jesus got up and put up on a towel and proceeded to go around with a basin of water. He gently washed the disciples, and he took the towel to dry them. And then even he washed Judas's feet. We'll talk about that in a moment. 6 hours later, and not even 6 hours, this man was going to betray Christ. And just as Jesus was doing this, Judas has in his mind what he's going to carry out. And in this lesson, I want us to dig out, or this message, three lessons, if you would, about what Jesus did at that supper. I want us to look at salvation. I want us to look at sin. And then I want us to look at servanthood. Service, if you will. Lesson number one I want you to see from this great story is this. A bath is a picture of the salvation of your and my soul. Peter said, no, you shall never wash my feet. Now, Peter, you got to say this about Pete. He was always saying the wrong thing. He was always putting his foot in his mouth. Sometimes the only time Peter opened his mouth was to simply change feet. I love what one minister said, that he used to proclaim, Jesus probably was thinking, Peter, you better let me wash your feet because you're about to put them back in your mouth again. But Jesus, in the second part of verse 8, he said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you can have no part with me. So Peter then goes to the other extreme. And he says, then, Lord, look at verses 9 and 10. Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, a person who has had a bath, say it again, bath. Bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you. What did Jesus mean? Jesus was making an analogy in that passage of Scripture that what dirt is to our person, our body, sin is to our soul. I'll repeat that again. What dirt is to our body, sin is to our soul. And because we're all stained with sin, we need to get, everybody should get a spiritual bath. I'm talking about baptism, first and foremost. The word tells us that you and I are cleansed, we're made clean by the word of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 26 says this, that Jesus cleansed the church by water by the word of God. Salvation is a bath for your soul, is what Christ was saying. Paul wrote to his friend Titus in chapter 3, verse 5. It's not on the screen, but please listen to this closely. He saved us. Say, he saved me.
He saved me.
Say nice loud. He saved me.
He saved me.
Not because of the righteous things that we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Washing of rebirth. What can wash away Brad Trask's sins? What can wash away your sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can make us whole again except the blood of Jesus. And what Jesus was talking about on that night was cleansing of salvation. He said, Peter, you don't need to take a bath because you're already clean. Then he turned to the other disciples, and what did he say? You're all clean, all of you, except for one. Because Jesus knew what Judas was going to carry out in his sinful, in his dirty heart. He said, all of you are clean except one. Fact is, it leads me to 2 points I want you to gather regarding this idea about personal salvation. We aren't naturally clean. We all need this bath. First, we need this bath because there is born in our hearts sinfulness. Each of us has to come to Jesus by faith to receive the blessing of rebirth. Some translations call it regeneration. And there's this false teaching. Look up here a second. Will you with me, Brighton Assembly? Watch online. The fact is, there's a false teaching that's growing. It's not at a majority stage, but it's pretty prevalent nonetheless. That it says something like this. Everybody's good, and in the end, God's going to accept everyone into heaven. That's just the way it is. You know what that's called? It's called universalism. And it's a false teaching. In the upper room, Jesus made this distinction. 11 of them were saved. They were clean. But there was one that was lost, Judas. And within 6 hours, as I mentioned, that false friend was going to betray Jesus with 30 pieces of silver. And I would submit to you, those that are listening online, maybe even in the house today, many of you have experienced the washing of regeneration or rebirth. You've come to Jesus by faith. You've admitted that you're a sinner. And he's cleansed you from your sin. If that's happened to you, say amen.
Amen.
The fact is, but there may be some that are here or those that are watching online that you haven't been saved from your sins yet. You may be saying, Brad, hold on a second. I'm no infidel. I've been faithful to my wife or my husband. I pay my taxes. I don't cheat or steal. But the Bible says this in Romans 3:23. That we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if you've told one lie, you need a bath. And the Bible says, Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the fact is, every one of us need a spiritual bath. We're naturally unclean. Second idea is this. We only need one bath. I want you to gather that. This washing of rebirth only happens, I would submit to you, preferably one time. I'm not saying that people can't backslide. Please don't leave here today saying, oh, Brad's preaching, Pastor Brad's preaching, eternal security. The fact is, if I choose to walk away from the Lord, I can walk out of relationship. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. We see people that have backslidden and turned their backs on God. However, in the believer's life, there's one time that they're reborn. Only once a bath is needed. He didn't say, you know what, through the washing of rebirth. It was the washing of regeneration or rebirth. We're all born as sinners. And when we come to Jesus by faith and ask him to save us, he removes the penalty of sin once and for all. I love that. Romans 8:1, you hear Rhonda and I quote it, the team. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. The beginning point of salvation is instantaneous. When we surrender and say, Lord, come into my heart, my life, forgive me of my sins, I'm a sinner. Jesus, once and for all, miraculously gives us this spiritual bath. There's a moment in time where our sins have been separated from our lives because Jesus went to the cross and God separates us from our sins. And there's a moment by faith when we accept this grace gift of salvation. And at that moment, the Bible says that this is what happens. You pass spiritually from death to life. You step from darkness into light. You were dirty, and now you're squeaky clean. Rhonda has been with the kids to, Buff City Soap downtown? And so these kids are really, really into, Eli and Ellie, really into bath bombs. Is that what it's called? Yeah. And these things, to me, they stink. I mean, they just smell up the whole house. I said it to Rhonda last night. She was getting the kids ready, and for that church today, and I said, honey, that just permeates the whole house. She's like, Brad, it's natural. Jesus takes us. We were dirty in our sin. And in a moment's time when we call upon him, he makes us squeaky clean in the eyes of Almighty God. Jesus said, you've been born of the flesh, but now you're born of the Spirit. Jesus looks at us and he recognizes we've all had physical birthdays. When we came to Jesus, we had a spiritual rebirth day, if you will. We have those physical birthdays. But has there been a time in your life where you've turned from your sin and placed your faith in Jesus? If you haven't done that, it's not complicated. In fact, a child can understand it. I was a child. I feel like, and I know in my heart, my life, I was 4 years old, 4.5 years old, and I knew I needed Jesus to come in and heal me of my sin. Jesus gave us a lesson about salvation. Jesus gives us the second lesson about sin. Look at the lesson here. To walk in communion with Christ, we must confess our sins steadily. Some Christians get confused at this point. They think for every sin in their lives, you know, if they've got to confess that sin to be saved again or to stay saved. Remember, one bath is all you need. But even after you come to Jesus and get that bath, there are times when we stumble and we fall into sin. So what do? We confess, say confess. We confess our sins to the Lord. Look what John writes in one of his letters, his first letter. He said this, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. The word confess, say it one more time, confess. In the Greek, it's the Greek word homologio. And it just means to say the same thing. When you confess your sin, You weren't telling the Lord something that he didn't know. Lord, I'm sorry I thought those bad thoughts. And he doesn't look at you and say, well, I can't believe you would do such a terrible thing. No, he would never do that. He knows everything about us. So when you confess your sin, what you're doing is you're agreeing with God of what you did was wrong. You with me? Say amen. You don't try and excuse it. You don't try and justify it. You confess that sin. It means that you say, Lord, I told that lie. I thought those thoughts. I was wrong, and I'm sorry. Forgive me. And the reason, Brighton, that we confess is so that we stay, hear me now, in fellowship with the Lord. I want you to think about the difference between two words. Ready? Say fellowship. Say relationship. Once you come to faith in Jesus, you get a spiritual bath. You enter into this relationship and become a child of God. The Bible says, but as many, John said it, chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, he gave the right to become the children. Say children. Stop right there. Look at the person next to you and say, you're a child of God. Say it on the other side of you, will you? To somebody. Say, you're a child of God. Look what it says there. He gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Once you come to Christ, that relationship is secure. God's your father, and you're a child of God. Nothing can change that relationship unless you decide, you know what, I'm just leaving the family. But as we walk in a dirty world, we sometimes still stumble in sin. So to stay in fellowship, say it again, fellowship. That's why we come to the communion table, to stay in right fellowship with the Lord. We come and regularly confess our sins to him. At the risk of just really looking like a knucklehead, I'm going to share a story, okay? When I was a high school senior, it was an Assemblies of God college that had invited me to come work out with their basketball team, and they were recruiting me to play basketball for them. And so one of my buddies went to this university, and we worked out with the team and had a good time. And while we were in this town, I didn't party. I've never drank any alcohol in my life. But I was a goofball, make no mistake about it. And while we were on this campus, you know what, with some buddies from Michigan that were students there, you know what, we got in this big water fight. And we were throwing water around this dorm, and some damage got done. Got chased off of the campus. And when I got back to town on that Saturday night, you know, I wonder if anybody had contacted my dad yet. The Assemblies of God is a small world. Make no mistake about it. And, you know, dad didn't say anything. He hadn't been contacted. But Monday, when I got home from school, my dad came into my bedroom and said, hey, come on to dinner. I remember he kicked me on the foot. He said, dinner time, let's go. I walked in, and we prayed over the meal, and I went to take my first scoop of food, and my dad said, hey, what happened down south? And I'm looking like any kid, what do you know? He said, well, I got a call from the president of that college today, and you guys did some damage to that room. I said, yeah, we did. He said, I wasn't the only one, Pops. But he said, well, here's the deal. We got to pay for the damage, our share of it, and you've got no rights to the car for the next month. When you're a high school senior, I mean, you might as well be put to death, right? And I had admitted that I was at fault. Now, here's the deal. Did I ever stop being my dad's son? Absolutely not. But can I tell you, make no mistake about it, the fellowship was broken for a season. I admitted, I said, yep, you're right, and reluctantly handed the keys over. And my dad was always patient with me. He knew what kind of son he had, that I had issues, that I liked to have a good time. And he gave the keys back early. But the fact of the matter is, then the relationship was restored. You see, what I'm talking to you about is, in our lives, so many people just go along and they think, oh, I don't have to confess it, I'm forgiven. And the Lord wants us to continuously come back and have right fellowship with Him. Look what a pastor that you hear me quote often say. I try to start out, Ray Stedman said, every morning by acknowledging my need for cleansing from the mistakes I made the previous day. I confess and acknowledge before the Lord the unkind words and tones I might have used, the wrong attitudes I had, the rebellious disobedience I manifested. Then I am cleansed anew so that I can begin every day with what is of primary value, the sense of His presence with me and His power at work through me. That is what Jesus is talking about. This is where the Christian life begins truly to be lived, when you have the presence of Jesus daily with you. The worst thing about sin is, right, is this, that it doesn't cause you to lose, as a believer, your salvation. It causes you to be out of fellowship and your usefulness for the kingdom to be hindered. Jesus, I submit to you as we come to the communion table today, and He does it on a daily basis in our life. He is regularly washing feet. He's cleansing us from the debris. And all you need to do is get alone with Jesus on a daily basis or in a corporate setting and confess, Lord, I need a cleansing so that my relationship, yes, it's intact, but not only my relationship, the fellowship that I can have with you is at the ultimate stage that it can be. So, lesson about salvation. Say salvation.
Salvation.
Say sin.
Sin.
That's about service. We should imitate Jesus' model of service. Now go back with me to the picture in the upper room. There's a custom that whenever guests came to a house, right, that the guests' feet were washed before entering the home. And this was both a necessity and it was also hospitality. Because in that day, there's no asphalt, there's no concrete, and people wore sandals. So at the end of the day, their feet is caked with dirt and dust. And when a guest arrived at the entryway, a servant would meet them and remove their sandals, and that guest would sit on a stool, and a basin would be taken and filled with water, and that servant then would wash the feet of the guest. If you're with me, say amen.
Amen.
So the servant washes the feet and then dries them off. But when Jesus gathered for His disciples, think about this, because I had never seen it before. Maybe it'll be the first time for you. He's gathering for the Passover meal, and we know that this is a borrowed room, right? So there's no house. I'd never seen that before. There's no host, and there's no servants. So Jesus becomes both the host and the servant. And the disciples had looked around at each other, and what did they say? I ain't washing that guy's feet. He's got some gnarly feet, and they are dirty and dusty, and I'm not washing those feet. And we read in Luke 22 that later that night, Jesus tells us, or we see it, that there's an argument about who's the greatest amongst them. So Jesus gets up. I should take my coat off. But Jesus gets up, wraps the towel around Himself, and gently washes the feet of the disciples. And He says, look at this, you call Me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. It begs the question, doesn't it, right? Here's the question. Is this speaking, Jesus speaking literally of washing one another's feet, or was it figuratively? I would say yes to both. For the people in Jesus' day, the followers of Jesus, they still walked in a dirty, dusty world and continually had to have their feet washed and cleansed. Paul wrote to his friend Timothy, his protege, about a widow that was deserving of the church's help financially because she washed the feet of the saints. Interesting, isn't it? But in a day where most of us drive cars, we walk on sidewalks or in malls or different places, and we wear shoes and socks. You know what? The method changes, but the meaning remains the same. We should follow Jesus' example of service. Jesus had said, love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said, John 13, verse 17, look at it again. Now that you know these things, say, know these things.
Know these things.
I want you to say this to yourself. I know these things.
I know these things.
You will be blessed if you do them. Followers of Jesus distinguish themselves through humble acts of service. And those who don't expect it and are unable to repay it are the ones that God blesses us the most for doing it for them. And there's only one other question that we have to answer, and it's pretty simple. Jesus said, do as I've done. What are you doing to wash other people's feet? It's time for us as a body of Christ to move away from the theory and move into the practice. It's time for us to move away and say, you know what? What actions do you want me to take, Lord? It is an action step that you and I can say it'll affect us. Blessed, happy are you, fulfilled are you if you do what he did. How did Jesus do it? He saw a need and he moved to meet it. He didn't wait for an invitation. Hey, would somebody do it? He took the initiative. He took off his uniform of greatness and he got down on his knees. He didn't announce what he was going to do. Hey, guys, take note here. This is what I'm going to do. He just stood up and says, you know what? I'm going to wash feet and I'm going to do it. He didn't wait for anybody to thank him. And didn't receive one either. I've got a friend that Pastor Harold used to work with alongside of my dad, Alton Garrison, great pastor and former assistant general superintendent. He and I have this repartee. Whenever we see each other, one person will ask the first part of the phrase, the other one will respond. And it simply goes like this: how do you know you're a servant? And the other guy responds, when you get treated like one. Can I just say this? This is what I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. I started to walk in the North Lobby, and I think you know me well enough. I get very, very nervous for people that are always saying, Lord told me, Lord told me, Lord told me. And I guess I don't question it, or I don't get critical of it. I just, many times, you know what? I either say, boy, I wish I had that kind of conversation all the time. Or I think, you know what, many times it's just to say what they want to say. But sure as I'm talking to you, I'm just replaying this message in my mind as I walk in the north door this morning. And I'm just saying, Lord, please, you know what, would you speak to people that through this pandemic they've drifted or they've drawn cold? And I felt like out of nowhere, the Spirit of God said, Brad, when people draw cold, many times it affects three areas of their life. Church attendance, giving to the things of God, and service in the kingdom of God. I'm just his mouthpiece today. Just being obedient. Church attendance. We've seen it in people's lives. I was talking to Pastor Dan about it, Rhonda about it this past week. You know, people that I would have never thought would drift from the things of God through the pandemic have just gotten cold-hearted. And you know what? They rarely, if all, attend the house of God. Can I just say this? We're closer now to the Lord's return than we've ever been. You don't want to You don't want to shrink back in your faithfulness to the house of God. I'm going to give an account to the Lord someday. Please don't do that. Attendance. Have a heart that's a giver. Say, well, you know, there's always a need. There's always going to be a need. You know what? Givers understand that. They just operate in their life with that understanding. There's always going to be missionaries to send. Thank goodness there's missionaries to send. There's always going to be events. You know what? There's always going to be needs. The church is a group of people that can do far more. We see it with Heart's Cry. Heart's Cry kicks the tail of Department of Health and Human Services. That's the way it ought to be. You know what? You and I, in our lives, we've seen it in others. Man, when we give, when we wash the feet of the needy, God just pours it back into our lives. And then this. I'm just being straight up. Okay? In service to the kingdom. You and I ought to have a place where we wash people's feet. There ought to be a time and a place. You know what? We shouldn't have to beg or plead or twist arms when there's a need. If everybody does something, the body is built up because the Lord has given each of us at least one gift. I guarantee you many of you have multiple gifts where the body can be strengthened because you are utilized in your gift. Joy needs nursery workers. We need people to be a part of a work day later on this month. We need people to be a part of the tech team, the security team. There's places, Heart's Cries, got an event this Friday that you've got to check through the requirements. But we need you to be a part because people's feet in this day and age, they're dirty and they need to be clean. Jesus looks at the disciple. He says, you're all clean except for one. One of them had not. I ask today, those of you watching online, those of you here in person, have you allowed Jesus to give you a bath? Have you allowed him to cleanse you? I love the story about West Virginia mother, hillbilly mother, and she lived in the Appalachians. And she's got 9 unruly kids, and one of her boys got sprayed by a skunk and then walked through a mud bog and fell down and then crossed a newly tarred road. And he came to his mother for her to put him in a tub and to scrub him up. And the mother said, I declare, I think it would be easier to have another one than to clean this one up. Sorry if that wasn't a good Appalachian draw. Can I tell you, God never feels that way about you. He loves you no matter what bad things you've done in your past. He wants to cleanse you and give you a bath today. The opportunity's right. Today's your day of salvation, friend. Jesus is still cleansing the saint from debris that gets our lives in a place of dirt, and we just need our feet to be washed. As the worship team comes back, have you been cleansed by the power of the blood? Have you been made right by the blood of the Lamb? The good news is the power is available for you today by the blood of the Lamb. And for those of you that are followers of Jesus, as we prepare our hearts for the communion table. Do you need to be cleansed? Is there an attitude? Is there a thought process? Is there a habit? Is there an addiction? You love Jesus, but you ought to be freed. He wants to give that to you today. For the believer, are you involved in service? Some of the most fulfilling things in life happen out of just not worrying about how you're cared for, but caring for needy people. I was singing it all day yesterday, sometimes with Rhonda in the house with the kids. Some old song gets in my spirit. I couldn't help but think of it as we come to the communion table. We're not going to sing it. But man, it was in my heart. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. You and I, let us always be a church. Let us be followers of Jesus that believe in the power of the blood. That believe, Lord, you can cleanse us from the deepest stains. Would you bow your heads with me today? Just a moment, we're going to come to the Lord's table, share in Holy Communion. But I'm asking you, those of you watching online, maybe somebody's even shared this today, and you picked it up on their page. You don't even know who I am. Doesn't really matter. I mean nothing. Jesus means everything. And if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, today's your day. It's just as easy as admitting you're a sinner. A, admit you're a sinner. B, believe on Jesus. C, confess that Jesus is your Lord. A, B, C. If you go, if you're online, go to that BrightonAG/next, and we'll lead you in the plan of salvation. I promise you.